Russia reacts to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage, and as protests continue in Armenia, Moscow moves to appease the demonstrators. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is Pavel Butorin, senior producer of RFERL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you. And so we've had some predictable reactions to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. All the expected noises came out of the Russian Orthodox Church. And Vitaly Milonov, the man responsible for Russia's so-called gay propaganda law, wants to ban Facebook because it allows users to decorate their profiles with a rainbow flag. But we also had some surprising reactions, didn't we?
Yes, you're right, Brian. Vsevolod Chaplin, chief spokesman for the Russian Orthodox Church, said the United States is now trying to, quote, impose its anti-natural and post-human view of marriage on the rest of the world.
Post-human, good God.
That's what he said. And of course, as you said, St. Petersburg legislator and Russia's chief anti-gay crusader Vitaly Milonov now wants Facebook banned. But we did have some surprising responses. Russian Senator Konstantin Dobrynin called for a don't ask, don't tell rule to be introduced legally throughout the country.
What does that mean, though? Because don't ask, don't tell is a U.S. military.
And that applied to the military in the United States. Basically, he wanted to extrapolate that rule to the rest of the country.
So nobody can ask anybody if they're gay and nobody will
I think
tell
he's talking
them,
about employment and things like that. But importantly, he said that the U.S. court's ruling to legalize same-sex marriage meant that sooner or later, sexual minorities will receive equal rights throughout the world. And he said that in this situation, Russia cannot ignore reality. Who knows? Knowing Russia, maybe this little-known senator from Arkhangelsk may as well recant and retract his words.
He's spoken out on this issue before. He said in the past that he's sick and tired of the obsession with anti-gay legislating, although he didn't vote against the so-called gay propaganda.
Precisely. And we know that don't ask, don't tell sounds a bit outdated for the United States, but for Russia, that would be a step forward, no doubt at all.
Yeah,
I do think, though, that on the official level, Russia will continue to position itself as at least to its population, as the world's last bastion of traditional values.
Yeah. But does Dobrynin's comment reflect kind of, I don't know, a different strand in society? I mean, we've all seen the public opinion polls that show vast majorities opposing giving rights to homosexuals in Russia. But
that is right. But I think over the years, Russia's society has become more accepting of alternative lifestyles.
So the trend in Russia may end up being similar to the trend we saw in the West, where not so long ago.
I wouldn't rule that out.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. We'll keep an eye out for that. The crisis, meanwhile, in Armenia, the crisis continues, but Moscow appears to be trying to placate the Armenian public. After meeting Russian officials, Armenian President Serzh Sarkisian suspended electricity price hikes pending an independent review. Moreover, Moscow has agreed to allow a Russian soldier. This was a hot button issue long before these protests. Moscow has agreed to allow a Russian soldier who is charged with killing 7 Armenians to be tried in an Armenian court rather than in a Russian military court. Moscow's also given Armenia $200 million in credits for arms purchases. What do you see here? Last week when we were looking at this, we saw the Kremlin was screaming colored revolution and seemed to be urging the Armenian authorities to crack down. Now we're starting to see some concessions. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I see something completely different now. The Russian state media have been sort of playing down the anti-Russian angle of the Armenian protest. You know that Russia's chief propagandist, Dmitry Kisilov, on his Sunday show, in fact, declared there is no anti-Russian trail in the Yerevan protest. Uh-huh. So basically allowed it to happen. And the Russian state television does not use the word Maidan to describe the protests. It draws no parallel with the Ukrainian protest movement.
This is in contrast to last week, to the initial way they were covering it.
Exactly, exactly. And we know that the Armenian protest is indeed very different. There are no, there are no political demands, no apparent protest leaders. In fact, our correspondent in Yerevan confirms also that there is no anti-Russian sentiment in the street of Yerevan.
Some was developing at when the Russian media was beginning to say this was a Western-backed colored revolution. You began to see a lot of people with placards saying, mostly directed at Russian media, but I guess
exactly. That's a different thing. And our reporter on the ground actually does confirm that protesters have been really cautious about what they say to the Russian media.
I mean, and this speaks to a lot of things. I mean, Armenians are not anti-Russian, although the energy company that raised tariffs is owned by Raos, the Russian energy giant. So by definition there is an anti-Russian component, but unlike the Ukrainian protests, it's not so much anti-Russian. Armenians themselves tend to be actually very quite pro-Russian.
And let's face it, there's a lot in Armenia, in the Armenian economy, that depends on Russia.
Like everything. And there's a Russian military base in Armenia that's there ostensibly to prevent Armenia from taking back Nagorno-Karabakh, prevent Azerbaijan from taking back Nagorno-Karabakh. So there's a lot of reasons for the Armenians not to get anti-Russian here. Although there was a danger last week, I thought that the Russians were creating a self-fulfilling prophecy by essentially insulting the Armenians by saying your protest is just some Western-backed coup. When a lot of thousands of Armenians were braving police reprisals to take to the streets to protest, basically what was a pocketbook issue.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll be. It'll be interesting to watch.
We'll be following this one closely as it develops. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me has been Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with a soothing sound. Sounds of Noise MC.